Well, Christian, greetings to each and every one that's gathered here today. I'd like to have a volunteer come up here and pray for me.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call upon you again this morning, thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity. We know, Lord, that these words here that are shared are not shared in vain. Your word, Lord, goes forth, and the seed is cast into the hearts of men. And Father, we pray that the groundwork of our hearts this morning would be fertile and prepared for what Brother James is going to share. We thank you, Lord, for giving him safe travels. And also, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of just giving him a message on his heart this morning. Thank you for your word again. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here ministering to our hearts already. We pray, bless him now as he shares. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. This morning I greet you in that name that is above all names. There was lots of trembling going on at this moment. Couple verses from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to read a few more. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm not here today to bring you a lot of big words. What I have to share with you today is very elementary, I believe. There are some experiences that I had in the past that were very difficult. And one of the challenges that I'm facing that it seems like preaching is just foolish. And I know that that is the enemy. I'll give you just a glimpse of what I'm talking about. It was the other day I was traveling through the neighborhood in Beaumont, Texas, I usually, since the winter storm Uri went through there, water seems to be an issue in many situations. So I would load some cases of water in my vehicle, and I would try to find a very poor neighborhood. And I'm driving down the road, and I spot this one fella, and he was standing on the porch. And he was up and down, and he was wiggling around and dancing up and down. And I'm driving by, and I'm watching him. And I said, what's wrong with him? But there was something within me. He said, just keep on going. I went around the block about halfway, and I said, no. He says, I'm going to go see what's wrong with that man. So I drive up, roll down the window, and he'd come dancing off the front porch, and he was a-dancing and hallelujahing and praising the Lord, and the music was just a-blare, and it was the ungodliest music that you could ever imagine here, and he was lifting up the name of Christ. How? So I get out of the vehicle, and he was high. There was no question in my mind this man was high. But in that, he was lifting up the name of Christ. The foolishness of preaching, I don't know. I asked him, could I preach? There was two ladies in a car and another guy walking around there with his pants half-mast, and he says, yeah, preach. We just love preaching. But it felt foolish. Extremely foolish. But praise God, this right here will work. This will work. So I preached a few minutes, and it wasn't long. The guy that was dancing was not dancing anymore. I don't know what I preached. I really don't. Ended up, I had a very good visit there, but they weren't dancing anymore. Did it soak in? I don't know. I don't have time to go in all the details. That's just one episode among many. I struggle to get out of a vehicle like that and open up the Word of God and start preaching. And it's getting hard. It's very hard. This morning, I'm going to endeavor to preach a message, and the title of this message, He That Overcometh. He That Overcometh. And I'm going to be reading from Revelations 2 and 3 this morning. I won't have time to read everything that I had in mind in reading, but I'm going to start reading in chapter 2 of Revelation. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. As I was looking at that this morning, I don't know if you will allow me to do this morning, but I'm going to do it, and if you want to rebuke me, go right ahead. I'm going to start reading in the first verse again. Unto the angels of the Church of Allen County Christian Fellowships. I believe this first church here, I believe, that is happening in many, many, many Anabaptist churches in this world or in this United States of America. And I believe that what happens, I'm just going to continue to read. I know the works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What are the signs of losing the first love? Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will move thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'm trying to lay out a foundation here to what it is to be an overcomer. What you will receive when you become an overcomer. Overcome what? You fill in the blanks today. I'm not going into any of those details. You know what you're struggling with. I don't. It's between you and God. But you need to be an overcomer. If you want to be an asset for the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ, you need to be an overcomer. You need to overcome what you're struggling with. I'm preaching this to you today. That I have something in my life that I'm struggling with to overcome. I'm not a sin issue, but I'm still struggling. But praise God, for the most part I'm gaining. I'm just going to continue to read. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. You want to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise, and you must be an overcomer. Down to verse 11, it talks about another church there. I'm not going in all these churches, but I marvel at what he says at the end of every one of those rebukes and remarks he makes about the church. He that hath an ear, verse 11, he that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt at the second death. Then he talks about the church of Pergamos, and at the end of that rebuke, and he tells them to repent, tells them what all they're doing and what all they're not doing and what they should be doing. And then he says, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that listen to these words, to him that overcometh Will I give to eat of that hidden manna? And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. A new name is written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. He that overcometh will receive a new name. My thrust here today, that you become an overcomer so you can be an asset for the church of Jesus Christ. He goes on, he talks about the next church. Then he says, and he that overcometh, in verse 26, chapter 2, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power. Will I give power over the nations? Will I give power to preach? Will I give you the desire to preach? Will I give you the ability to preach no matter what the circumstance is? And I need that more and more as I see the day approaching. I was asked by one of my sons yesterday or last night, what have you learned? In the last several months, my answer is, I really don't know. Because I'm still in the learning process. I know what I want to learn. I want to learn how to be more compassionate, more loving, more tender-hearted. That's what I want. Move on into chapter 3. Talks to the church of Sardis. He that overcometh. I just love this verse. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will, listen, I will not blot out his name. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that overcometh, God, Jesus Christ, says, I will confess his name before the Father. Yes, Melvin, you made it. Yes, Melvin, you made it to the angels and to God. You made it. Because you overcame. You overcame the wicked one. Hallelujah. Verse 12, chapter 3, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Oh, hallelujah. I beg you today, whoever finds himself in a place where it's so difficult to overcome whatever, do it and do it quickly so you can be a pillar in the temple of God. Because that is what you were designed for. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 19, chapter 3 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? Even as also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. Our Lord and Master was an overcomer. Praise God that he was. Where would we be today? That verse says, I'll read it again. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. Very clear in these scriptures that we read. Very clear. If you want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, then you must be an overcomer. Fill in the blanks. Because you were not designed to struggle. We do. I understand that very clear. We do. I do. I struggle. But I find that you find yourself in that place too long. The enemy just wiggles in there just a little more. And that's his desire. I'd like to read a couple verses from the Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 12 first. It's hard to know where to break in these verses. I think I'm going to break in verse 11. The second chapter of the Epistle of John. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Young men, young ladies, I trust that's where you're at today, that you have overcome the wicked one, that you are strong in the word, that you are no more tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea. I'm going to read verse 14 again. I want you to pay close attention to this verse. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning, and I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Have you overcome? I have a question wrote down here on my paper. Have you overcome the wicked one? First John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Oh, I just can't get it done. I just can't overcome this one. It's just too big. I just can't do it. On your own, you can't. But with God, you can. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God? As clear as it can get. I can't make it any clearer, and I'm not going to try. Just read the verse again. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that overcome the wicked one? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God gave his This is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this is life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence we have. Brothers and sisters, this is a confidence that we can have. But we need to be an overcomer of the wicked one, the destroyer of mankind. And he's out there day and night going about who he can devour and eat up. And he's getting most of the world in his kingdom. But it doesn't have to be that way, church. Because his cry is that we overcome the wicked one so we can be a part of his kingdom and the church of Jesus Christ. And then we can live peacefully. We aren't grinding anymore. I just can't deal with this, can't deal with that. That's the enemy. And he cares not who you are. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Beautiful promises to him that overcometh the wicked one. I kind of have a subtitle for this: Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness. Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." These two titles could be mixed, turned around. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness first, or do you become an overcomer first? I think they're hand in hand. If you are no longer hungering and thirsting after righteousness, forget about being an overcomer. And if I'm saying some things here that are, please talk to me. I believe that we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness to become an overcomer, or vice versa. Once you become an overcomer, then you still need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If that desire leaves, you will continue to go downward. I don't think you can separate the two. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Luke 6 verse 21 says, "Blessed are you that Hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye when you weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice you in this day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received the consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you. For so did the fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. How about that one? Do good to them that hate you. There's lots more that could be read there, but that's a big one. And that could be a deep one. John 4:13. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, we know the account here. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Are you thirsty for that water that comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ? The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me of that water. Have you ever cried out to God, said, Lord, I want that water. Give it to me so I can be an overcomer and live for you. Brothers and sisters, I need it as much or more than any of you. That's my cry for my own life. I'm going to bring this to a close. I don't have a long message. If you would turn with me to Revelation 7. Several closing verses that I'd like to read. If you're here today and you are an overcomer and you love righteousness and you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you have overcome the wicked one. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it's impossible to be an overcomer of the wicked one. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And I hear it. And I hear it come from sources where you just about can't imagine. I just can't. This church that I'm a part of is just. If they would only do it my way. Did I come too close home today? That's a big one. It's a big one across this globe. People come in and the And the first, one of the first complaints that I get, oh, the church that I'm a part of, just burns my heart. Verse 9, chapter 7 of Revelation. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and of all kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God which sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and saying unto him, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? Where do these people come from? Who are they? And he said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, and neither shall they thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor the heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. Overcomers. A multitude of overcomers. From all tribes and nations and kindred. Hallelujah. You want to be there? Sure we do. Amen. We want to be there. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to be there on that day with a multitude. Then we need to overcome, whatever that may be. I know what it is in my life, brethren. I know what it is. And by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God will I be able to overcome it and have victory. Victory. One more verse. I'll read a couple. Revelation 21, and these are very familiar verses. He that overcometh shall be here. Shall be here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, behold. When I see that word in the scriptures, I believe it means pay attention. Pay attention. I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Behold, these words are true and they're faithful. And they'll stand forever. They won't move for anybody. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. And I will give unto you, that is the thirst, of the fountain of water of life freely. Hallelujah. These verses just bless me. This is not a doom gloom message. This is a life. Life. Here it is. We can have that water of life freely. Every one of us can be hand in hand walking toward that final destiny. Then the last verse, he that overcometh shall inherit what? All things. Hallelujah. All things. Just not in part. Just not part of it. It's all yours. What a blessing. Don't put it off. And then it says, and I will be his God. I will be his God. I will be her God. And you shall be my son and daughter. That's not in there like that, but I believe I can add that. You want that? I know we do. May God bless you. I'm going to turn time over to the moderator.